Hello, my lovelies, and welcome back to the Self Love Club pod. I'm so excited to have you here. First and foremost, let me just say, I am so sorry. I literally have not posted on here in like 3 weeks. I have not filmed an episode, edited anything. I said that I was going to do that when I got back from Houston, my medical camp. And then my parents decided to take us on an impromptu trip to South Carolina, which was great, by the way. But I ended up getting back yesterday, which was Sunday, at a very late hour. So I was like, yeah, there's no way that I can like film an episode and then edit it and get it out. So I'm so sorry about that. But I promise that probably will not happen again. It was just a weird week because I was traveling and then I got home for like a day and then went to travel again. So in case you were wondering how the medical camp went, it was absolutely amazing. I met such great, incredible people, and I love them all so much. We had like a group FaceTime yesterday and I just miss them so much. It's only been a week, but I'm like, it feels like it's been like a month or something. And they're all just so different in their own ways, and they like, we all just mesh very well together, my group. So shout out to the Corey group. I love you all. I know none of you are listening to this because none of you even know I have a podcast, but that's okay. So yeah, I came back from Houston, which was for 9 days, and then I got home for like a day. I saw my dog, and then, you know, like a day or two after, we went to South Carolina for like 5 days, and it was very nice. I loved it there, and I loved Charleston especially. I really like historic towns. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the architecture or like the vibes. I swear I was like a witch in like Salem or something like that in my past life, because I just love those kind of towns. And yeah, it just feels really homey to me, you know? A lot of people might, like, go to those places and say, like, oh, it's so, like, old and, like, musty and, like, yada, but I love it. And, yeah, that was really, really pretty, and I was there for 5 days. I just miss my dog, y'all. We're getting my dog from the puppy hotel today, and I just miss him so much. It's been, like, a total of 14 days that I have not seen him, except for that like one day in between my two trips. But yes, South Carolina was great. It was a struggle getting there though. Basically, we had a connecting flight from LA to South Carolina. We stopped in Dallas, and then from Dallas to South Carolina, we had a flight, because apparently there are no round trip flights from South Carolina to LA. I don't know. So it was all good. You know, we were flying Spirit, which was part of the issue. I don't like Spirit, but it was kind of our only option because we booked the trip late. So, you know, that was that. So we were flying Spirit. Our flight from LA to Dallas was good. And then we get to Dallas and figure out that our flight from Dallas to South Carolina is canceled. And it was not good. There were no other flights on Spirit that flew to South Carolina from Dallas. So we ended up having to go with another airline, which was American, which in my humble opinion, again, is not a great airline because they always have delays and cancellations, but that's besides the point. So we get this flight from Dallas to South Carolina, and it was already delayed by like over an hour. It was supposed to be at like 7:25 p.m. Central Time, and it ended up being like 8:58 p.m. Central Time. Anyways, so we get on the plane at like 9-ish. And as we get on the plane, the pilot or whoever was running like the intercom thingy basically tells us that they have no fuel in the plane. And they literally finished boarding everybody. Like, the boarding doors were closed. So we were literally stuck on that plane for a good hour while they found fuel and then actually filled up the plane with said fuel. It was just a mess. I was like, Y'all, you can't just board people and not have fuel, okay? Anyways, so that was that. We ended up getting at South Carolina like 2 a.m. Eastern time. So that was interesting. Coming back from South Carolina, though, everything was smooth. I was actually surprised because, as you guys know, Spirit is known for their delays or cancellations, but thankfully we didn't have any of those, and we came home right as we were supposed to at the expected time. So, yes, that's that. I need to stop ranting about trips because I know that's not what you guys are here for. So, let's get into the topic of this week's episode, which is relationships. And honestly, I'm not the best person to, you know, get advice from about relationships because mine haven't gone too great. But I figure my very unsuccessful love life and the things that I've learned from my failed relationships, maybe I can teach you guys something and give you guys some advice of, like, you know, little tips or, like, what to do, what not to do. Although, take all of this with a grain of salt. I'm not telling you what to do or what not to do in your relationship. I'm just kind of basing this off of what has happened to me and things that directly apply to my situation. But obviously, that's not everybody's situation. You know, every relationship is different. There are different people involved, different circumstances surrounding it. So just take all of this with a grain of salt. And on that note, ironically enough, the one thing that I think you should not take with a grain of salt and that I think is universal towards every relationship is good communication. And I seriously think good communication is so important, and everybody talks about how important it is, yet it still kind of gets brushed under the rug. I feel like especially when you get, like, you first get into a relationship, it's so exciting and thrilling, and you're like, oh, this is so fun, I really like this person. And then all of the things that you probably should be doing or probably should be talking about, they're kind of like an afterthought for you. And then once you're out of that honeymoon stage, like the first 1 or 2 months, they come rushing back, and at that point it's a little too late for them to be entering the conversation. And one of those things I think is good communication. The other one is probably boundaries. So those two things always kind of get brushed under the rug a little bit and always come back at a really awkward time later. So I feel like if you just establish good communication right off the bat, not only is it healthier, but it also, I feel like, solves so many little issues. Like, an example, say your partner does something and it kind of like irritates you a little bit. You're not mad, but it was just kind of annoying. Okay, and you let your partner know that you thought that that was annoying, and your partner, if you do this in a very calm and collected manner, your partner will probably be happy that you did that. They'll probably thank you for doing that and thank you for letting them know that they did that and apologize, right? But if you don't say anything about those little issues, they're going to come back in conversations later, and they're going to keep building up, because obviously as human beings, we're not perfect. Sometimes we say things that don't come off the right way, or we don't mean it in that way, but another person takes it in a certain way. So those little tiny issues that don't really matter that much are going to start to build up. And then because you're not directly getting closure for those little issues, it's going to feel like a lot. You're going to feel like this person keeps annoying you, that they keep irritating you, and it's not really anything significant, but because there are so many different little weird issues and things that are irritating you and you're not telling your partner about this, they just kind of go unsaid and they remain in your mind. And unfortunately, where they most often come up is in a heated situation or an argument. So if your partner actually does something that is very, wrong, and you guys have an argument, okay? These little tiny things that happened like months ago will start to come up in the argument. You know, you'll be talking about something completely unrelated, and then all of a sudden you'll say, well, remember when you did this month ago and like you didn't apologize for it? Like, remember when you said this and you never even mentioned it again? Like, why would you do that? And then, first of all, that's unhealthy, because I mean, it's okay to like bring up stuff from the past, but I feel like you should be able to get closure for it when it's happening or like right after it's happening. And also, your partner is not going to take that well, because in this heated situation, in this argument where, you know, feelings are occurring, things are being tossed around, if they hear you bringing up these things from months ago, it's probably going to get them mad, and they're probably not going to apologize for any of those things unless the argument has dialed down. But if it's in like its highest state, like its climax, and you're both like yelling at each other, and then you bring this stuff up out of nowhere, it's probably going to make your partner mad and probably going to make them upset, and they're probably not going to say sorry. And then those things will just stay in your mind and you'll never get closure. But if you had just communicated in the beginning, you know, these things would not still kind of haunt you, because you would have their apology for it. You'd be like, okay, they said sorry, that's it. You know, but if you don't do that, if you don't put in the initiative to communicate with them about those little things, it's just gonna stay there. It's probably not gonna get fixed. And again, I know this from my past relationship, because I feel like this was a big issue, and this little thing that we didn't think was a big deal, good communication, you know, it really impacted the relationship, and as well as the relationship's ending. And I just want to say, I'm not saying that like every situation is a situation where you're able to communicate openly with your partner. Obviously, there are different kinds of relationships and different situations. But if you're not experiencing any sort of like direct obstacle from like communicating with your partner, I highly, highly, highly suggest doing it. Like, if you are able, do so. You know, if you're able, take the initiative and do it. And I swear it'll lead to a healthier relationship later on. And I've heard of some relationships where, like, you know, one person brings up communication and like boundaries, and the other person either gets mad at them for bringing that up or kind of like shies away from them. If your partner ever gets mad at you for like wanting to establish boundaries and, you know, communication, break up with them, please. They're not for you. There's no reason that somebody should act in that way unless they've been hurt in the past, you know? But more than likely, they just are not even looking for a healthy relationship or a long-term relationship. And so they don't want to establish those boundaries or good communication because in their mind, it's not really a long-term thing. And that's a red flag right there, my friend. So if you notice that, and you know, you bring it up again and it's kind of the same reaction, maybe that person's just not good for you in that moment. Maybe they're not looking for the type of relationship that you're looking for. And that's okay, right? So that's what I think about good communication. And like I said, I really think it's universal, and the fact that it helps with little issues as well as just having a healthier relationship. And another thing, when we're in relationships, we have like different types of attachment styles. There's three main ones, but there are obviously little like sub parts of those three. The three main attachment styles, I don't remember who created these or who like founded them, but I know that they are anxious attachment style, avoidant attachment style, and secure attachment style. So obviously, you want to be secure. You want to be secure in relationships, not have worries, and be able to, you know, solve any sort of little conflicts or bumps in the road with your partner. For me, in my past relationship, I have always been an anxious attachment style person, and in this certain relationship, my partner was avoidant. And those obviously kind of clash, but the funny thing is that anxious attachment styles attract avoidant attachment styles and vice versa. So it's often that those two attachment styles end up together in relationships, but it's kind of conflicting, you know, they don't really mesh well. And I just think that it's ironic that they literally attract each other, and then once they attract each other, it's like clashing, you know? It's funny to me. But basically, anxious attachment style is when somebody is very anxious towards their partner. They're always thinking that, you know, their partner doesn't love them anymore, or they don't want to be in that relationship anymore, they don't care for them anymore. And so as a result, they kind of cling on to that person in hopes that, like, if I'm always here, they're not gonna, you know, they're not gonna not love me anymore because I'm always around them, like, they'll always feel safe with me, yada yada. And avoidant attachment style, it's kind of, they're both forms of anxiety, but avoidant people run away from those types of situations, and instead of, like, clinging on like an anxious person would do, avoidant people would detach, you know, because they're scared of either commitment or anything like that. And, you know, as a result, that'll cause the anxious attachment style person to freak out and think, why are they detaching? You know, why are they not, you know, being lovey-dovey with me? What's going on? And, you know, in response to that, the avoidant person will just continue to do that, you know, because that's just who people are. And it's kind of hard to change our attachment styles. Obviously, everybody should be kind of actively working towards, or at least trying to work towards, being secure in relationships, because that's the goal. You know, you don't want to live your life being anxious in every single friendship or relationship that you encounter. You want to be secure, but it's really hard. As far as where it kind of stems from, I don't really know. Me personally, I think it stemmed from, like, things that have happened to me in my childhood and, like, the way that I was brought up. But it could totally just stem from the way that you are as a person and the way that you were raised. And it doesn't have to be any significant event that, like, changes the way that you attach to people. No. You know, it could just be who you are. And for me and my ex-partner, that was just who we were. And the thing is that we didn't know that about each other. And this is where the good communication comes in again. You know, if we had communicated about the way that we love, how we love, it would have been so much easier being in that relationship, because, like, I didn't know that, like, he's just the type of person to be a little bit emotionally detached and, like, not talk about his feelings, whereas I am like, I'm here, I love you, talk to me, yada yada. And I was just confused as to why he wasn't acting in that way. And it was just because that's the way that he is. That's his attachment style. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, but it just led to a lot of excess anxiety on my part. And I'm sure a lot of excess anxiety on his part, because we just didn't know that about each other. You know, we weren't prepared. And the thing with our relationship was that we were, like, best friends before we got into the relationship. So, I mean, I can't speak for them, but I thought that, like, talking about these things would be weird, especially at the very beginning, because we had just, like, gone from being best friends to being in a relationship. And I was like, ooh, I don't want to talk about this stuff with him yet. I don't want to, like, communicate about this stuff with him yet. It's weird. Like, we're just fresh out of a friendship, and now we're moving into a relationship. And then it just never came along, you know? I always made excuses and said, no, that's weird, you know, we're just not there yet, yada, yada, yada. And it just never happened. And again, it led to a lot of unhealthiness because of that. And I just kept making excuses for not communicating and not, you know, setting boundaries, because, you know, there was a point where we were, like, very, very far into our relationship, you know, very lovey-dovey, no more of that friendship stuff. And I totally could have done it then. But then at that point, I felt like it's too late and it's too weird. Like, he would think, why is she bringing this up right now? And it would freak him out, you know? So it just never happened. And later, towards our breakup, it brought up a lot of issues and a lot of, like, lying and just not being open with one another and not knowing things about the other and, like, getting surprised along the way, you know? So you don't want that. You don't want that. Just get it out of the way at the beginning when you're able. And, you know, because a relationship is always awkward in the beginning, so you might as well get the kind of awkward, quote unquote, things out of the way at the beginning. And then as you move down towards the relationship, you'll get more comfortable, and then the relationship will feel better. You'll feel more comfortable because you have these boundaries and you know how to open up to them, and they know how to open up to you. And it'll just feel a lot better than if you just kind of continue to push away doing the things that are so important and doing the things that will help you and impact your relationship later. And another thing about my past relationship was that both me and my partner were fixer people. In case you don't know what a fixer is, it's kind of similar to an empath in the fact that, like, they suck up everybody's emotions, and it kind of takes it a step further. You know, not only are they sucking up people's emotions around them and, like, overly empathizing with people around them, like, genuinely feeling what the person next to them is feeling, they also try to fix that person. Like, whoever is feeling negative or sad, angry, whatever, they try to fix that and help the other person feel better. And sometimes the only way that this happens is with the fixer, like, kind of giving off their happy energy to this other person, because sometimes, you know, empaths themselves are the ones that are struggling because we're so emotionally drained by other people's emotions. And so if there are, like, two empaths or two fixers in a room, one empath is, like, really, really sad, the other fixer may try to fix them by saying things or just radiating their happy energy to the other person, and then the other person will suck it up. And as a result, it leaves fixers and empaths really drained because people are literally sucking up their energy. And a lot of the times, unfortunately, it's happy energy because empaths and fixers tend to be very optimistic people. So a lot of the times it's happy energy. So when you suck up the happy energy, what are you left with? You know, sadness, anger. And not to say that those are, you know, bad feelings. They obviously need to be felt and experienced, but not all the time, you know? And definitely not because other people are sucking up the happy energy that that person has, and now all they're left with is sadness. You know, that's definitely not healthy. But me and my partner were both fixers, but again, in different ways. And since we both had different attachment styles, we did this differently. Can you imagine somebody who is anxious trying to fix somebody who is avoidant and vice versa? Like, it was awful. It was genuinely so draining and confusing because I think we both couldn't really understand why the other was acting in the way that we were, and it was because that's just who we are. And we kept trying to fix something that we didn't even, like, we were confused about ourselves. You know, I didn't know that that was how he loved. He didn't know that that was how I loved. So how can you fix something when you don't even understand, you know, what is going on, what needs to be fixed? It just leads to a lot of anxiety and, you know, chaos and confusion. So that is pretty much it for today's episode. I'm really glad that we had this chat about attachment styles and fixers even, and just overall, again, my main message is good communication in relationships is so important, and I will continue to say that just so I get stuck in your brain and you don't forget to talk to people when you're beginning your relationship and you don't forget to set boundaries because they're so important. And I don't know why I'm singing, but yes, I love you guys very much. I hope that this episode taught you at least a little bit of information about relationships, and if you're in one right now, maybe how to, like, you know, gradually establish better communication with your partner, or how to maybe understand your partner a little bit better. And if you aren't in one, and if you're single like me, maybe just things to know for your next relationship when it comes along. And yes, I love you all so much. Again, I'm so sorry for being gone for, like, almost a month. I promise that will not happen again. And I love you all so much. You are so incredible. You shine the biggest freaking light in the world. And I am so proud of you and all of the things that you have overcome and all of the steps that you are taking to work on yourself and to learn. And maybe one of those steps is listening to this podcast. And if it is, that makes me so happy. And I love you all so much. And yes, goodbye, my sunshine.